something traumatic. And then at the end of it, you can see other people going into that time. And now through your experience and the things that you've learned, you can then go and be a help and a comfort to them. Because I tell you what, we talk about things. There are things that some folks go through that most of us will never have an understanding of. And if you're one of those people that have gone through that, you have a very unique perspective. You know, I could sit there and I can say, hey, the Bible says this. And I can say, hey, this is what the Lord would want you to do. But there's nothing like the comfort that comes from a person who has been there, done that, and is able to hold your hand through the process, knowing full well. Right? We think how often we say, oh, I understand that you are hurting. I understand that you are in pain. You know, there's some pain that I only understand that you're in pain. I don't really get the depths of it. And that's where it's important for us, once we have gone through something, to have a readiness when we're able. Sometimes you're not ready to come straight off of something and then start talking about it, right? It's understood. But when you get the opportunity just to be there, to be the voice on the phone, the shoulder that's available, that's very important for us to be able to do. So we talked about that. We talked about stress we bring in ourselves, the kind of stress where we've sinned and done that. Well, my wife and I, we do nothing but fight. Every time I go to work, you know, I've been fired 9 times for getting into arguments with the boss. I guess that's just who I am, blah, blah. No, stop that. Right? If you stop getting fired, those bills would get paid. If you minded your temper, you stopped sinning the way that you were, if you showed up on time, if you had respect, you'd have a much better time of it. If you looked at what the Bible said about a soft answer, turning away wrath, if you looked at things like compassion and deferring, preferring one another, that would solve a lot of the combat that you have in your life. Right? Things would be a whole lot easier if you stopped the sinning and started obeying God. I'm not just talking about doing bad things. I'm talking about not doing the right things in the right moment. We've all been there, right? Hey, there was a thing I was supposed to say, but I didn't, and now there's trouble. Hey, there was a thing I shouldn't have said that way. I should have said it this way, and now there's trouble. And then last week we looked at this, and I hope nobody caught on to it, but I kind of finished this up on Friday with it. I was sitting there looking at it 2 weeks ago. I go, man, that'll preach. And then last Sunday I was preaching. I'm like, oh, no, slow down. This is Sunday school. So I'm like, no, and I took a different perspective on it. But folks, that's it. When I'm staring at this world, and I'm staring at all the havoc, and I'm staring at all the chaos, and I'm staring at all the prosperity that's coming from the people, causing all of the chaos, that will cause all kinds of stress. Now, again, that does not mean that we choose to be blind. You've got to react to things. You've got to be smart about it, right? We don't want to completely turn a blind eye. It'd be like saying, hey, I get stressed out while driving. That's why I don't look. It'd be dangerous. You still got to operate in this world. But there comes a difference between looking over at something and going, oh, that, yeah, oh, look at that, look at that, look at that. And then you crash your car because all you're doing is looking at that. Right? We need to have the proper mindset when we are living in this world that we're not overly obsessed by the things that are happening around us to where we allow it to cause us stress. All right, so now let's start talking about the mindset, right? We've talked about all the different precursors. Let's really get into the mindset of what to do with stress. Go, if you will, to Matthew, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. Not yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought, can add one cubit to unto a stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? So what are we seeing here? When it comes down to stress, which is going to happen, typically the stress comes from us thinking about what do I have to do next? And where are the supplies for what I'm going to do next come from? Now what the Lord says there is take no thought for these things. We'll look at a verse later. It says, be careful for nothing. Don't stress out for anything. When you are in stress, the most important thing you can do right off the bat is remember that God will take care of you. Oh, but you don't understand. This is bad. Yeah. And through that bad, God will take care of you. Ah, doctor says, I'm not going to live past this. Yes, and when that is done, you will be in heaven, never having to be concerned about it again. Now again, those are cheap, easy words to say, right? But I tell you what, many of us, we have tried this. Hey, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I don't understand it. And I'll tell you this, Father, I don't like it. But I trust you. I trust that the food will come. I trust that the money for this bill will be there. And I'm going to keep doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to keep doing the dishes and doing the laundry and being a help here and serving in the church. I'm going to keep going, doing my responsibilities, knowing somehow, somewhere, you're going to help me in this. And we'll do this. You know, I think sometimes, well, hey, we're going to do this, and I pray the Lord blesses it. There's been a lot of things that I have planned that never came to fruition. And you know what I do? Thank you, Lord. Say, hey, in order for that to happen, I need this and this and this. And that didn't work out. And for whatever reason the Lord had, he chose not to have certain things take place. I praise the Lord. He said, hey, you know what, Matt, that was your idea. That was not my will. That's how you couldn't happen. But I tell you what, if it is the Lord's will, if there is something going on there, he is going to supply that need. You know, I was sitting there and I was praying at work. But before you guys called me to come up here, I was praying at work for something. In order for me to take the next step in my career, I need this to happen. And would you believe it just wasn't happening? I attended meetings. I gave these presentations of what I think that we should do, and it would open up an opportunity for me to reach in and grab in a new responsibility, go do something amazing. Lord never gave it to me because he had another plan entirely for my life. But I'll tell you what, there have been moments in my life where we have needed things. As a family, I've needed things individually for health or food or whatever. We've had need. But guess what? Never failed to be there. Oh, sure, it might have been hot dogs and maybe not even as rich as hot dogs. Maybe it was ramen. Maybe it was something else. But it was there. It was always there. Now, maybe it was just some eggs. Well, hon, what do we got? Well, we've got like 4 or 5 eggs. Well, I tell you what, I could go for some eggs right now. Why not? And God can provide that way. It's all about us sitting there going, you know what? No matter what's going to happen, it might not be pretty, it might not be wonderful, but God is going to handle it. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you. Now, in this cursed earth, sometimes the best you can get is the best you can get. Sometimes God is, as we talked about in our first lesson, strengthening you, emboldening you, bettering you in this process. And you've got to get that way. But we need the right mindset. Number one, God is watching and he cares. He cares. As we were going through the Sermon on the Mount once, we saw that Jesus described the life of faith. Here we see Jesus addressing the issue of daily and ordinary life needs. People in his day, as are people today, they're concerned about the basic necessities of life. Live your life the best you can. handle your responsibilities, maintain your integrity, walk with the Lord, and those needs will be there. Don't confuse the needs with wants. Don't. And in America, even those that are in the bottom tier of the, let's say, their lower class, they still have far more than people in other countries. We are very blessed. Very blessed. You know, and we've got the ability to do things for those that have very little, and that's a good thing to be able to do. But God takes care of us, provides the right thing in the right time. So what we've got to do is we've got to remember what he says there. Take no thought for your life. Don't worry about those things. Don't sit there and scheme over them and worry over them and pester with them. Now here's the thing. Are some of you somewhat the way that I am? You know, hey, we're going to do a thing and we're going to set out the poinsettias, right? We're going to set those out. And you fuss with it. And you worry about it. Well, we got to do this. We got to do this. If that doesn't happen, look at, and we get all wrapped up. I did that to myself this morning. I was getting ready for this the Sunday school class, and I was doing that this morning. Well, you know what? I saw this. What if this happens? All right, there was this thing. I'm pretty sure that this might come close to happening. I've really got to address what I'm going to do. And after a while, I got myself overthinking it and thinking it and thinking it and thinking it. That wasn't a decision I needed to make today. It's not even a decision I need to make any day. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm going to leave you in suspense. But I just sit there, you just pick at something. You pick and you pick and you pick. All right, so if I move this around, we'll get the groceries, I'll do this over. Hey, pick it, pick, 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 pick. And what do? You damage all your calm and you do none of the work. Is that not what we do? I know, come on. It's what we do. We do all the picking, but none of the work actually gets done. And all we've done is steal our own joy, cause stress to our own selves. Right? Now again, what is stress? Stress is the emotional reaction. Well, it's not the emotional reaction, but it's the friction in our life creating an emotional reaction to it. So heavy workload, sorrow, loss, anything like that, disappointment, right? And it kicks over to this emotional distress that we develop when we're creating that in ourselves by worrying, right? We're doing the thing that we're trying to avoid. So we don't want to worry. We want to sit there, we want to bring it to the Lord. Lord, however it is you're going to bring about this need, I'm trusting in you. I am watching you. Now, that's an easy thing to say, but you need to say that to yourself when you're getting into these pickles. You need to say that to the Lord when you're getting into these pickles, right? I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to trust in Him. And you say to the Lord, I've asked you for this. I am trusting in you. And if you say yes, I'll praise you. If you say no, I'll praise you. And if you say wait, I will try my very hardest to be patient. To be patient. But what we can't do is worry. Worry does nothing. Do we agree? Worry does nothing. It does not help me solve the problem. As a matter of fact, it becomes a distraction from the problem. There's things that I could be doing to solve the problem while I'm sitting there getting my heart rate up over nothing. Let us not worry. Let us give it to the Lord. We need to remember our worth. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Right? So don't burden yourself with these worries, but you do need to consider the value that you have to God. I mean, if he's out there taking care of these animals, and he's out there and he's painting nature with all these wonderful colors, don't you think he can take care of you? You ever look up at the moon? You ever see the large craters in that moon? Every one of them a shot never made it to Earth. They've got some great telescopes, and they'll show, oh, here's a crater on Mars, and here's a crater in this planet or that planet. If God can swing a giant stone sphere to catch a meteorite, You don't think he could handle your gas bill? You don't think he can't make sure that you got plenty of food? And again, we want to be careful. These prosperity preachers, you know, if I do this, he'll fill my bank account and I'll have the bestest, biggest, fullest fridge in the county. Now, sometimes it's ramen, but it's food in the belly. It's care for you. And sometimes it is big. Sometimes God comes in with the big blessing. Sometimes he just pours it out on you. Right? Sometimes there's more fish in the net than you can count. But I trust in him no matter what he chooses to do. Trust in him. Why? Why does he do that? Why does he fill the nets? Why does he go ahead and make sure that I've got a little bit of food or a lot of food? Why is it that I get this check? I think I remember this recently as we were moving. Got this great big check from the electrical company. You ever get a check from the electric company? We canceled our DTE, came out here, got consumers. Just as we needed it for a bill, it was almost the exact same size of a bill. Why does God do that? Because he cares for us. He cares for us. Why? Yeah, you ever sit there, you find something you didn't expect. Like, man, I remember doing this back when I was doing maintenance. I'd put on a pair of pants, find $10. I didn't have gas money that day. How'd I lose $10? I ain't got gas money. If you're that broke, you know where your dollars are, right? I found $10. Praise the Lord. I guess we're going to work today. Why does God do that? Because he loves us. And takes care of us. Right now, there are moments, we talked about it, in sin, we ruin God. We don't ruin God. God could still bless us anyway, but we fight God in the blessing. Right? It's like a baby when you're trying to feed them and they're slapping the spoon out of the way. I'm trying to give this to you. You don't want it. Right? I'm trying to change your diaper. You're trying to barrel roll off of the changing table. I'm trying to do something good for you. And then we fight God in that way. And a lot of times God will take that blessing away just to get us to settle down a little bit. And once we get focused, he'll bring it back again. But we have to remember the relationship. No, we have to remember the relationship. Right? Even Job, who suffered so much, God put limits as to how far he was going to be able to suffer. He drew a line. And the devil himself, who was causing the problem, couldn't cross that line. You understand? That's the power of God, and he can use that in your life. So consider the value you have in God's eyes. We've hinted at this, but consider some of the things that were brought up here. Think about these birds. They go out there. They had no barn. Nothing's caring for them. No one's caring for them. They're out there. God cares for them. He lends to their physical growth. Right? Many of you, some of you got chickens. You know, so you got birds. Right? You care for them. You pay close attention to them. You got the heat lamp out. You change out the bedding that they're in. You care for these things. Right, but there's a lot of animals out there just wild and free. God gave them instinct. God gave them knowledge of things. God gave them abilities. You ever consider an eagle or a hawk as they're hunting down for those small animals? My wife and I, we were traveling one time. I might have told this story. We were watching this rabbit on the side of the road, and I'm watching it because my wife loves rabbits, and I don't want to hit this rabbit and completely ruin date night. So I'm watching it, and out of nowhere, you just saw this large bird come down, whoosh, grab it up, take it off. I'm like, and I'm like, well, that's ruined. You know, she's like, oh, she's crying a little bit. And you know, that's nature. How does the hawk have the ability to reach, to look down, see something like that, and not only fly itself away, but fly away with this great weight? They're powerful. They've got instincts. They've got abilities. You know, and we think about the rabbit. You know, the rabbits can outrun a lot of different things. They can do that bob and weave thing that a lot of larger animals can't. God gave them things to take care of themselves and provide for themselves. Right? The more you pay attention to nature, the more you really see the complexity of it all. If he can give those things to them, put a worm in a bird's mouth, if he can get there and he can put a rabbit where the hungry hawk is, certainly he can help you. Certainly, if he can sit there and go out to these fields and dress them with grass and dress them with beautiful flowers, certainly he can make sure you're warm. He can certainly do that. So what must we do? We must rely on him. We must trust in him. Because after all, what is our option? Verse 27, which of you, by thinking, could put a foot on your... Wouldn't it be nice to have a whole cubit, to be a whole cubit taller? Some of you don't care. But for me, that's always been a sensitive issue. You know, when I'm sitting there and I go stand by a bunch of other pastors and it's... You know, every pastor I've ever known has talked about growing up, getting around these pastors and looking up at them. I'm still doing that. That hurts my feelings just a little bit. You know, it gets to my insecurities. But which of us could grow taller if we needed to grow taller? You can't. Which of us, once we're in a barrel, could get out of the barrel? We have a hard time with that. Most of the time, we can't. We focus, we fight, we build, we learn, we grow, and that's wonderful. But really, there's not a lot of changes to yourself you can make. At some point, you need to rely on God to do things. You need to rely on God to help you. So we see here in this as well, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I moved my thing and I lost my spot. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What we need to do is we need to get our eyes on God and consider him and consider the things that he would have us to do. Because along with this worry comes compromise. This is where we get stuck. This is where we stick ourselves. Because if I'm sitting there and I'm facing this great burden or I'm facing this great trial and I let worry talk to me a little bit too much, I'm going to be prone to do what? To be tempted into some things. What kind of temptations come from being stuck or being in a hard situation? Anger, jealousy, frustration, right? Sorrow. And we get ourselves all depressed over things. And then what do we do? Well, I got to get out of here. So what do? Well, let's cheat a little bit at work. Let's try to get ahead. Let's take this from so-and-so. Let's lie a little bit to get out of the trouble. We get this desire to compromise, to get something, to fulfill something. And then what do? Well, we shoot ourselves in the foot. When we bring sin into an already bad situation, it's no good. It's no help to us whatsoever. There was a lady, she told a story about going kayaking out there, and she brought her dog along, and her dog was a chicken, right? The boat tipped over, and the dog was in the water, and the dog didn't like the water. So the dog is sitting there scratching and pawing and trying to climb up onto the lady as she's trying to get up into the boat. And she very easily could have gotten herself up into the boat. She very easily could have righted herself, got the dog into the boat, got the paddle, and everything would have been relatively okay until she could limp it over, get the water out of the kayak, and keep going. But this panicked dog was making everything difficult. And as a matter of fact, she said, after a while, the dog trying to cling to me and me trying to get my hands free, I started to sink. I got fatigued, and I started to sink a little bit. I was having a hard time. Folks, that's what we do when we bring sin into our lives, when we're already having a hard time. Between you and the Lord, you could get it fixed. But in my nonsense, in my panicking, in my frustration, I make the problem worse. Because now it's not just a matter of you not having money to pay that bill. Now you're fired for what you did at work. Now it's not just a matter of trying to solve this problem that's going on in your family. Now you're fighting with your spouse. You understand? When I bring sin into the situation, I make it worse. I need to consider God. Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? Knew a guy one time, he was having a hard time making the bills work. So you know what he did? He quit his job. I go, man, why are you quitting? He goes, well, this job isn't paying me enough, so I need to go find a job that will. I go, have you considered finding the job first. Well, no, why would I stay at a place that's not paying me well enough? Because some money better than no money. He goes, no, I'm angry. I got to go. All right, well, give me your keys. Give me your this. Give me your that. Have a good day. Nothing I can do. Sign this. No, I mean, we really got to think about it. You know, the Lord wants me to fulfill my responsibilities. The Lord wants me to be to apply to Him or go to Him for wisdom. Hey, Lord, what should I do? There's many a times where I was in that position myself. Hey, I don't think I'm being paid enough. So you know what I did? I did what my father-in-law, what my parents taught me how to do. Work harder. And if you got to change the situation, change the situation. But don't ever be in a position where you let your emotions make decisions for you. Where you let a whacked out sense of justice make a decision for you. We make our problems worse when we don't go to God and ask for wisdom. We make our problems worse when we don't get our eyes into the Word of God and see what our behavior should be during that time. Where is the fruit of the Spirit? Well, it's hard to maintain the fruit of the Spirit with all this going on. That's when you need to be working the hardest anyway. Because those things help. Right? The peace, the joy, you need those things. The long-suffering, you need the patience, you need those things. And those are the things we rely on. Hey, tell me this, for those of you that had gardens this summer, any of you here, you're still eating off of that? Most of you are. You're still eating off it. You're going to be eating off it for a while. Why? Because that's what you grew it for, didn't you? That's what you saved it for, because the winter was coming. Why? When do you need the fruit of the Spirit the most? When you're struggling the hardest. Because that ground out there right now won't grow food. So you got it, you kept it, you stored it. That the fruit of the Spirit is here for such times. Right? Not just for the good times. It's there for the good times. It makes the good times better. But it helps us also to survive the bad times, the hard times. We cling to the things of the Lord. So what practices, right? Let's say tomorrow I wake up. Many of you, you're probably sitting here right now. You've got things that are causing you stress. What do I do? Number one, we've already got it to where we know we need to turn to the Lord first. We need to trust Him. Number one, pray. It's a little underwhelming. No, it's exactly what you need. Pray. Lord, I know you see this, but I want to talk to you about it for a while. You know what that does? Number one, it shows God, you know, you some respect. I'm coming to you first. Number two, that says something to your own self. It does something inside of you. It does. Now I'm focused. Now I'm paying attention. And I'm saying it for myself just as much as I'm saying it for Him. I trust in you. Show me, Lord, some wisdom. Get me, Lord, some knowledge. Put someone in my path or help me to find somebody who knows something about this, right? Lord, help me to stow away my pride. Help me to seek answers. Help me not to be so full of myself I don't have any room to be told, right? We go to Him. Lord, provide the answer. I've prayed this prayer so often. Lord, take it away. You know, we talk about illness, Lord, take it away, but failing that, give them doctors a really good day. Right? I hope that doctor has the most brilliant moments in his life while he's diagnosing me, while he's diagnosing them. I hope that surgeon does it better than textbook. I hope that surgeon does so well for brother or sister so-and-so that they put it in the textbooks. That's what I'd like to say. Lord, give them a really good day. We go to Him and we rely on Him for that answer. I'm not going to sit there and say, all right, well, I prayed my superficial prayer. Now I'm going to take the thing back and worry over it some more. Oh, no. You're not a doctor. You're not a lawyer. You're not a banker. Well, maybe you might be. I don't know. But unless you've got specifically the ability to help them, worrying's not going to do it. Unless you've got specifically the resources to take care of it, worrying it's not going to help. And by the way, if you had the resources, what are you worried about anyway? Nothing to worry about. We trust in the Lord. So we are going to pray. Now, what happens in a few minutes when I start to get hopped up on it again? Lord, I told you I was going to lay this at your feet. I told you I was going to trust you. As I was walking away, I noticed I still had it in my pocket. I'm sorry. There you go. You'll get there. Trust me. You'll get there to where you can lay it down and you won't go back for it. At first, it might be three or four times a day you got to go to the Lord. But after a while of practicing and after a while of teaching your heart that that prayer was to a God that cares, loves, and does something, you're going to be able to lay it down and not go back after it. Now, again, we still handle our responsibilities. You go to the doctor, you go to work, you pay the bills. You do what you've got to do that's right, right? So pray. Don't hang on to it. Let it go. Let it go. Still maintaining your responsibilities of it, but let it go. Right? As I said before, in the prayer and in the trusting of the Lord, we give it to Him and we practice and we practice and we practice. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 18, and we'll be close to done here. So far we've got prayer. We've got practice. Verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Don't fret. Keep perspective. Right? All of life has a natural course of things. God has a design for all the things that happen. We're a part of it. We're playing a part of it. Sometimes it's not even about what's going on through us. I've known people that no matter what you tell them, it's like you did something to them. Oh, man, my car got a flat tire this morning. I can't believe you did this to me. Do you understand how short-staffed we are? How dare you? Your flat tire gave me a bad day. Now, sometimes we're just adjacent to people's lives. Right? Sometimes it's more about what they're going through and what needed to happen for them. It's about their ultimate healing. It's about their situation. And we need to be able to keep perspective of where we are in this process. So keep perspective of it. A really good example is this. If you've got people in your life that are just rowdy and it's stressing you out, remember, it's their rowdiness. It's their consequences. Oh, but don't you understand? I love them. No, trust me. I've got relatives that are more than rowdy. I've got relatives do things, keep me up at night if I let it. Right? Relatives, I'd like to go over and just now knock it off. That sounds very arrogant, doesn't it? It's my brother. Don't worry about it. No, I'm kidding. But you want to. But I can't let what you're doing steal my peace. Cause me stress. I'm not going to get secondhand stress off of your nonsense. You want to bury yourself? I'll be here for the advice. I'll be there for the help. But it's like that verse we looked at. Just because you're piping out in the marketplace don't mean I'm going to come to dance. Not going to happen. Right? We need to keep that into perspective. What about things that are happening in my life? Well, maybe this bad thing has to happen in order for this good thing to happen. Or maybe this has to happen to me, so something else happens to somebody else. Keep perspective. Keep perspective. Again, it doesn't belittle or make it smaller. It doesn't. We're not trying to find a way to make the bad things in life insignificant. Things have significance. They have weight. They have an effect on our lives. But the perspective takes the sting off. You understand? The perspective takes the sting off. It makes it just a little bit easier to carry. Now, this very final one, seek happiness. Seek happiness. You see, we have a choice. We can be worried and doubtful and upset, or we can seek happiness. Notice how I said seek happiness and not choose happiness, because sometimes that is a hard choice. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just look in the mirror and go, happy? I wish that so hard. Just happy! And there it is. No, seek it. Seek it in the Lord. Seek it in the things that remain. Seek it in the things that you can control. Seek it where it can be found. I'm going to look in the Word of God, in my trust. You know, once I've worked my way through this list, right, I'm praying, I'm casting it to Him, I'm keeping a solid perspective, I'm choosing not to worry. What do we got here? I'm going to seek happiness. I'm going to open those windows. I'm going to let that sunlight hit my face. I'm going to walk out. I'm going to do something nice for somebody. I'm going to show some love, show some compassion. I'm going to do things that equate to happiness. I'm going to get around to people. Now, why do you have to choose to do that? Because our sorrowful little bodies want to do the opposite. They want to shut the windows. They want to stay inside the house. They want to focus on the doom and the gloom. Don't do that. Instead, seek for happier things. God's filled our lives with things to be happy about. Seek those things. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, forgive me for going over in the Sunday school hour. I just get excited about this. Stress is something that affects everybody. But Father, if there's a way out of it, I'd want it. And Father, I see it in your word, how we can bypass so much of the doom and gloom and the physical pain that comes from stress. So Lord, I pray that you keep us mindful of these things when we're in stressful times. That Lord, we seek you, we trust you, we pray, we ask for those things, we look for those things that you would give us to help solve the problem. We'd maintain our responsibilities. And Lord, ultimately in the end, whatever it is that you're working out, we know it'll be for good. For its name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.